This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, Stephen Bond, thank you. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hope you're having a great Friday. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Mike Pritchard. And Will Hill, the bad boy of VSiN, who told us he's not intimidated by the studio, joins us. You can find Will's podcast, VSiN.com/podcast. Fellas, so what we have tonight, rule has ruled out. Of course, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, that number jumped big time. Will, New England, up to six at most shops, 40 on the total. The one I want to focus on now with you two is New Orleans at Green Bay. This number opened Green Bay 3. It's been bet down to 2.5 at most shops. You got 37.5, 38 on the total. Again, we're seeing those elevated totals with the early hot start on the overs in the preseason. Couple things here. LaFleur has been awesome in the regular season. I told you he's 2-6 in the pre, losing by 7.5 points. Green Bay, no Aaron Rodgers. He's going to play in week 3. You're not going to see Jameis Winston for New Orleans. Bakhtiari and Jenkins, the tackles for Green Bay, they're out. You are going to see Jordan Love for 3 quarters. And if you take a look at what Jordan Love did against San Francisco, it's actually the 3 picks weren't his fault. He did have a pair of 33-yard touchdowns. I thought Jordan Love actually looked pretty good, and that's a bonus having him here in this matchup, Will.
Yeah, the best thing Love has done for Green Bay is seem to motivate Rodgers, because Rodgers won the MVP ever since they drafted Love overall. To me, like you mentioned, the totals here are elevated. When you have such a pronounced trend as last week, all these games going over, I just think the public flocks to bet the overs. The bookmakers adjust them, maybe even over-adjust them. So I would look to play under anything in the high 30s, low 40s. I think if you blindly play the unders this week, you'll do okay. In terms of the sides, I don't have a lot. I was just telling Pritch off the air. Like, I went 1-2 on sides last week, and that was enough for me. Like, if I see something where I know it's going to move, I'll bet it. And so much of this is a race to the information. And sometimes you only have a couple of minutes to get it in before the line moves, and it's not bettable anymore. But to me, and Patrick, you know this is a better, you guys know this is a better, you never want to make a bet, lose, and just have that feeling of, what the hell did I bet my money on? So to sit here and
well,
bet
because you
Packers
just because
Saints,
you want action. That's what it comes down to. You make a play because you want action, and then you kick yourself in the ass. That's
100%.
What
especially, you know what? I've been doing pretty well betting baseball. I'll just bet baseball. So for me, Saints, Packers, you guys can have it. I would look towards the under, but nothing profound for me in terms of the side here.
Yeah, I mean, last night if you had the under, I mean, are you right? Yeah. But you shouldn't have been, right? I mean, you think about it, just how crazy games can be in preseason. A little bit of intel from this game, though, talking to my former GM up in Seattle, Randy Mueller, Patrick, and Will, the Saints defense has been getting after it in these joint practices, too. And a lot of people are excited about the Saints defense this year.
That's tremendous information. A couple things on the Saints. One, I kind of like the under tonight because I expect New Orleans to run the football like they did in week 1 against Houston. You've got 4 backs vying for that backup behind Kamara. So you've got 4 backs that Allen wants to take a look at. I expect the Saints to run the ball. Andy Dalton, just 10 plays, was very efficient. Last week, he led New Orleans on a touchdown drive. Then you're going to see a bunch of Ian Book. So you're going to see Love. You're going to see Dalton for a little bit and Book. But I really do, Pritch, expect to see New Orleans because they're trying to figure out who's going to be that backup at running back run the football here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Alvin Kamara, I mean, the news about him perhaps avoiding suspension because his lawyers are pushing everything back gets interesting. But, yeah, you have to get people ready behind him. I mean, Ingram, look, you're not going to play him in the preseason at all, but you're right about the running back situation. And then, you know, Jameis isn't going to play, and Dalton, I don't care what you guys think about him, but that's a fall off. And then Ian Book, my goodness. I hope he can learn to play the game again in the National Football League because he's horrible right now. But, yeah, they got a long way to go. They're really relying on – I mean, for the regular season, they're really relying on Jameis being healthy. If that's not going to be the case, then this Saints defense – I mean, this Saints team in general could be one of those teams that underachieves again like they did last year a little bit.
Yeah, no offense to Ian Book, but he's not a pro.
Yeah.
We'll move on from that. Now, Kansas City, that's where we're sitting – you've got the over. Pardon me, Will, I said under on the regular season win total. I got DraftKings sitting at 10.5 on the Chiefs. You got to pay a little juice, $1.20 to the over. Your thoughts on the Chiefs this year?
Yeah, I do pretty well betting these over-unders in terms of the season wins. I have a super simple approach. I look at the quarterback. I look at the coach. I look at the schedule. To me, you got a great quarterback. You got a pretty good coach. It's amazing. Reed has been to four straight conference title games with two different franchises, which is hard to believe. Mahomes going for his fifth straight AFC title game. This is his fifth year starting. So to me, you still got games against the Texans, the Jaguars, the Seahawks. To me, those are three layups. Can you go 8-6 the rest of the way? To me, unless Mahomes gets hurt, this is still an 11-12 win team. I know that, you know, the schedule is tough, but it was tough last year and they still, you know, cleared this number. So to me, look, coach, quarterback, keep it simple here, over for the Chiefs.
Keep it simple, stupid. In division, the Chiefs are plus 175. This is a fellas, this division is awesome. Plus 175 on the Chiefs over at DraftKings. The Chargers, plus 220, Pritch. You've got Denver, you know, a little something about them, plus 260. And then the Raiders, who quietly lurk behind those three at 6.5-1. It's a nice little price for a team that's got a little juice right now.
Yeah, the thing about being a front runner like the Chiefs have been, you know, everybody's gunning for you. And certainly we've seen the Chargers reload or get better on paper. We've seen the Raiders get better on paper. And then certainly the Broncos with the trade for Russell Wilson, they feel like they're getting better on paper too. I think people could be sleeping on the Broncos defense a little bit, even though Vic Fangio is no longer there. From what I gather, they are flying around and making it more difficult for Russell Wilson in that offense, and that's always a good thing. Eventually, Russell Wilson in offense will get it going. And then it's just been really quiet with the Chargers, which is also beaming with confidence right there. Out here in Vegas, the Raiders, the Waller situation, people are keeping an eye on that. But for the Chiefs, I don't expect them to fall off, but they're going to be different. And I wonder how they're going to navigate the season being different than they were before with Tyreek Hill on the field.
Yeah, you make such a good point, too. Everybody's gunning for you. When a team's playing the Jets or the Texans, maybe they sleepwalk through a game. Nobody sleepwalks through the Chiefs. Everyone knows, all right, we got the Chiefs this week. We better score 30. We better be, you know, studying in the meetings. Right. Let's not get embarrassed this week. So they get everyone's best shot. I totally agree with that. When you look at this division, how good it is, somebody's not going to fire. Just by law of averages, one of these teams is going to fall on their face. Now, who is it? I don't know, because they're all pretty damn good teams. If I had to pick, I would say the Raiders just because they had so much luck in close wins last year. I think they won 6 or 7 games in overtime, last possession, something like that. So to me, I'm still going to bet on Mahomes and Reed until I see otherwise, especially Mahomes. I think Smith-Schuster can sort of fill in the gaps here with Hill. To me, I'm betting on the coach and I'm betting on the quarterback. Great division, though.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to surprise you with one. Will Hill is a Minnesota Viking fan. This is an 8-9 team last year. They're sitting at DraftKings at 9. Let's just discuss this team. They're going to win the North, Will, and you don't have to say it, so I'll say it for you. They were brutal. They were 4-7 in one score game, so you're going to have some positive regression there. Also, you take a look at the offense. You've got Jefferson, Offensive Player of the Year. You take a look at that offense. They're completely loaded. And last year, they led the NFL in 15-plus yard gains, but they were near the bottom in 3 and outs. So what does that tell you? They had no rhythm, Will, on offense, but they can take big shots. If they can settle down a little bit, bring a little modernity, make this offense a little bit more explosive and modern, which is what O'Connell is going to do, I think this is, again, Green Bay's won 8 of the last 11 division titles in 3 straight. I think this is a really good spot for Minnesota this year.
I'm on it. I'm with you. I agree with everything you said. But boy, have you found one person that says, you know who I don't like this year is the Vikings? I'm going on. Everybody loves the Vikings, and I'm with it. I think O'Connell, 20-1 coach of the year, is worth a look for that reason. If they get to 11 or 12 wins, he sort of fits the profile. It's a really good offense. Maybe they'll be a little bit better on defense. I think things certainly got stale with Zimmer. There was a stat last year, I think until that last game against Green Bay when Cousins had COVID, they had the lead in every single game, which you don't see a lot in the NFL. So they certainly underachieved. You know, whether it's bad luck, missing kicks, blowing leads, they were bad at the end of halves, the end of games. I do think a new coach, a new voice will help them. So I'm with you. I like the over, and if you like them to be a double-digit win team, maybe O'Connell for Coach of the Year is a good bet. And I just thought Jefferson 20-1 to be Offensive Player of the Year. To me, that's a mispriced number because MVP's for the best quarterback. Offensive Player of the Year is for the best, you know, running back receiver. Taylor had a huge workload last year. Henry's had a million carries over the past few years. Jefferson has the highest over-under in terms of receiving yards. I think he's at 1,400, even above Cooper Kupp. So to me, you're getting 20-1. It was 25-1. To me, that's just a mispriced number.
Yeah, he's a great player. And I'll ask this question to both you guys, Will and Patrick. I mean, the improvement for the Vikings offensively, is it going to be more beneficial for Kirk Cousins or Cook?
Well, first off, Cousins, I mean, Cousins' numbers last year weren't really that far off from Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cousins over 66%, over 4,200 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. He's just a very divisive person, Pritch, yeah. And Will. It's weird. His personality just really crushes people. The one thing I will say is, and again, the offense was all or nothing, but also if you dig into the metrics as far as defensively, Zimmer didn't have a good run over the last 3 years with Minnesota. They were historically bad at giving up points, Will, in the final 2 minutes of halves. They were the first team, check this out, first team in history, quarterback, 30-plus passing touchdowns, running back, over 1,000 yards rush, wide receiver, 1,500 yards-plus receiving to finish with a losing record. And Zimmer and Cousins hated each other.
Yeah.
Like this is, there's going to be a positive bump here, Will Hill, just because there's going to be different energy, different juice for this Minnesota team.
It's funny. And I talk about Zimmer this way, and we're all talking about Zimmer this way. This guy was like 70% against the spread for a very long time. He was very good against the spread his first 4 or 5 years. And I just think, look, it gets stale. Sometimes you need a new voice. I would say with Cousins, the stats are great. There is a little bit of empty calories with him where it's, look, it's 3rd and 13. He throws it 8 or 9 yards.
Yeah.
Looks good on the stat sheet, but you end up punting the football. There is a little bit of that with Cousins.
Pritch, did you, and Will, if you want to stick around, you can. We've got Josh at the bottom, so if you want to hang out, we'd love to have you. Before we go to break here, Pritch, were you a part of a team where a coach just had to go, it was stale, and somebody else came in and gave you some juice?
Yeah, you want me to name names? You want me to name names right here on the air?
Yeah, hold on.
Nobody's listening.
Tease it.
Okay.
Tease it, and when we come back, you'll pay off the tease. Is there, just give us the team you were on, and we'll see if we can do the math in our heads. Go ahead, give us the team.
Well, I'll give you the team. It was the Seattle Seahawks, and yes, the message was stale in that locker room.
I already know the answer. Pritch will pay it off, and Will Hill continues here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, we're less than a week away. The VSiN College Football Guide, of course, is out now, and our NFL guide drops next week. This is the information, I always say it, I wish I had when I was coming up in the betting industry, because this is invaluable. Our experts provide profiles of every team with team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations. You get best bets on season win totals. Now, here's the difference this year, and so pay attention. It's really easy to do. You just go to vsin.com/subscribe. You have to be an all-access member to get the two football betting guides. Remember, you got week zero coming up in college football just a few days away, and then you've got the NFL betting guide with a couple weeks out from that Thursday night game here in Los Angeles. You can save 50% right now on the guides. It's $175 through the Super Bowl, everything we offer. Okay, that includes Michael Lombardi's articles, Point Spread Weekly. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's 50% off right now for $175 through the Super Bowl. Check it out. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here. The boys are hanging. Mike Pritchard, of course, 9-year NFL vet. That's invaluable information for a better. We've got Will Hill, vsin.com/podcast, if you'd like to find the New York City cast. This would be a good opportunity for you to plug your podcast. What do you got coming up?
Had Adam Chernoff this week. Kev O'Neill did some NFL previews, did some baseball. Undefeated this week in baseball, so I'm kind of kicking myself. I didn't bet more on some of these games in baseball, but even on vacation, I'm doing the podcast. vsin.com/podcast.
Okay, that was a couple of flexes in one sentence. Right. One, he said he's never lost a baseball bet, and two, he just bragged to the bosses that he's still working on vacation. That is a tremendous job by Will. Pritch, we don't know anything about Kevin O'Connell. We know he was with the Shanahans in Washington. We know he went with McVay to the Rams, and now he's the Minnesota Vikings head coach. But we're all assuming him taking over for Zimmer, where it had gotten stale, that O'Connell's going to provide a jolt. Right. I asked you before we went to break, have you ever been a part of an organization where it just had burnt out with a coach? You bring in somebody new and it did provide a spark. You're going to name names for me, man.
Yes. And it's Dennis Erickson. I mean, and it's no disrespect to him. It's just, you know, you go 4 or 5 years, 8-8. But yet you feel like you have a good roster. You feel like you have the talent to do more than just go average every year. okay, you got to shake it up a little bit. And again, this is, it's not a disrespectful comment. When you think about it in the locker room, you look around, okay, we got all the right players. What's missing? What's missing? And whether it's a message or whether it's a change of how you do things, your process, that's what's going to get you over the finish line. So you bring in Mike Holmgren, and a guy who's been there, done that, and knows how to win a Super Bowl, comes in the locker room, one, instant credibility, two, you got the attention of the players, you got a new message, and you have that authority, too, that I think we were lacking to provide that discipline for us for the entire season. And lo and behold, we win the division that year and go to the playoffs. So it's just different a lot of times when you have a coach that comes into the locker room that way. Now, O'Connell, this is his first time as a head coach, but yet, has he been there, done that? Does he know the process on how to get there to the finish line and through the finish line and winning a Super Bowl? Absolutely. He's been with a tremendous family in terms of from the football world. And then certainly he's learned from McVay too. So he might be ready for this moment. We'll see how he performs though as the head coach. But I think the message will be a fresh one in that locker room though for those players.
That's very well put. Will, you're going to go. And by the way, the McVay tree is starting to get lit. Like I had to, when I was in LA, I covered the Rams. Remember when McVay's first year, when they went to the wild card and lost to Atlanta at home, I went and covered the practice before that game. And McVay just had this presence about him. He's literally like 5'9", but he stands like he's 6'5". And he just kind of, he looks you in the eye. He directly talks to you. He uses your name to preface his answer. And then LaFleur came out, and LaFleur was kind of meek and didn't really have an energy about him. And I was completely wrong on his vibe because he hasn't lost a game in the regular season at Green Bay in 3 seasons. And then O'Connell stood up, and O'Connell was like this big presence who had a real good vibe about him, and the players loved him. So that's what you're getting in O'Connell at Minnesota. Now, I don't know if there's a team, Will Hill, that has more pressure on him this year than the Buffalo Bills. That 13 seconds in Kansas City was a disaster. McDermott has never stood up and taken the hit for that, which is a joke. Bond knows it as well. But they've got a lot of pressure. However, you do like Allen, even though it's short at 7-1, the shortest number on the board as far as the MVP this year.
Yeah, not only was that 13 seconds a disaster, but I actually, that game was on the other day. I went back and rewatched the game against the Chiefs. They got very conservative in the middle of that game. There was one sequence when they ran the ball 3 times and punted on 4th-and-1. Allen was a monster in that game. They were 4-for-4 on 4th downs. They were so conservative a couple of those instances in the middle of the game. But I just think there's a narrative here. Unfinished business. He had the great playoff run. I know it's not a sexy price, but what's happened here with the MVP, Mahomes won it at 85-1. Lamar was like 80-1. Even Rodgers a couple years ago was 30-1. They've really shortened these numbers. They don't want us, you know, fleecing them here at 70-80-1 anymore. So they've shortened. If you look at these quarterback, these MVP odds, we know it's going to be a quarterback. We know it's going to be a quarterback. It's a quarterback award now. Everyone is in that 10-12-15-1 range. There's not that deep sleeper. So to me, Allen, 7-8-1, it's not that intriguing. But there's a good chance, you know, week 6, week 7, we look up and this is even money or he's minus money. To me, he's the best player on the best team. If they win 12 or 13 games, Allen is going to have a tremendous chance to win this award again. It's not pretty. It's not sexy. It's 7-8-1. But I think there's a chance here where you're getting the best of the number.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like the fact that Josh Allen is a perfect fit in Buffalo. I mean, think about the guy going to Wyoming for college and how he got that scholarship in the first place. He's going to be driven his entire time in the National Football League as a professional quarterback. And he's in a perfect situation. Buffalo is unique, kind of like Green Bay. When you talk about that franchise and the fans surrounding that franchise. And Josh Allen is perfectly made for this situation, right? And I think he's surrounded by a lot of great players, too. So to me, he's embracing this moment. He got poked a little bit, too, by Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and being in that elite company, playing golf or whatever. But that's motivational to me for a player that I think is still has a tremendous upside to his game.
Cold weather proof, too. If you get a windy, snowy day with a blizzard, Mahomes and the passing game are going to be affected. Allen's a bull. Allen can run over you, through you, past you, throw the ball. So Allen is sort of weatherproof here where, look, I think, you know, life on the line, I'd still probably take Mahomes as the best player in the league. But In terms of the playoffs, if you get a bad weather day, Allen is better suited that for anybody in the league. You might be able to talk me into Allen being the player I'd want the most going into this year.
I think I agree. He's proven a lot of people wrong, Will. He's a truck, and he's 6-1 on the board. Speaking of 6-1, the shortest number on the board to win a Super Bowl, the Buffalo Bills. Our resident Bills fan, and he's not just a fan, he's a psychopath, is our producer, Stephen Bond. Steven, you've got a take not just on Allen, but you've got a take on the Bills and that short number at 6-1 on the Super Bowl.
Well, Patrick, first of all, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I seem like a crazy person.
Well, I mean, you are.
Now,
but it's actually a compliment how crazy obsessed you are with this Bills team. We like that about
fair
you. It's
enough.
Passion.
It's fair enough, Patrick. These are my thoughts. If Josh Allen has a similar season, has, you know, maybe eclipses last year and doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, they will give him MVP. If the Bills make it to the Super Bowl, I would look elsewhere in the MVP futures market, right? I think it'd be tough at that point, but I think what you're hedging here is that if the Bills go, they don't give it to Josh Allen. That's just, you know, my two cents.
Well, you got Allen 7-1, pardon me. You got Brady 8-1. You got Mahomes 9-1. Mahomes and Herbert are 9-1. I think you start to get quote unquote value, which is an overused term, Will, is when you start to get to Stafford at 16-1. You know, Prescott 16-1. Stafford 16-1 presents a little something there as far as a price.
Yeah, again, you got to worry about the injury. And like I mentioned, they're not doing us any favors here with any of these prices. I thought about Wilson at 15-1 if the Broncos have a good year. There's mm-hmm. the narrative, which, again, you always have to consider the narrative with these awards. He's never gotten an MVP vote, which is well documented. I don't buy the idea that he's shot. I think, like you said, Pritch, they got some good players on defense. He's got some weapons on offense. Speaking of things that go stale, I think Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll got very stale, sort of like McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. Mm. I could see Wilson having a big-time year, going 13-4, winning this award. So Wilson, to me, you know, 15-1 range, that's not a terrible bet. Again, though, all these numbers are pretty condensed. It's not like you're getting 30-40-1 on anyone that's really realistic to win this award.
How about Lamar Jackson, Pritch, at 20-1?
Not bad.
Well, Michael Lombardi just wrote a great article about Lamar Jackson as a player to watch over at vsin.com. It's mm-hmm. really good information. What do you think about him sitting 20-1?
I like the fact that he paid attention to his body. I mean, I like the fact that he's bulked up. I know that's indicating to me that he's going to stay in the pocket more because he has to evolve that way. We know what he can do. He's the best athlete on the field, period, hands down. When he was throwing the ball, he was throwing it to a lesser athlete. When he was handing the ball off, same thing.
Yeah.
But now, to become a complete quarterback in the league, he's got to win from the pocket because teams are going to do that to him, like especially in the playoffs. And so if he can start picking teams apart from the pocket and he evolves that way, he is a dangerous, dangerous man. Because then you'll throw in the running aspect. You'll throw in some gadget plays that way too. But Lamar Jackson has a chance to be very, very dangerous moving forward.
Plus, Hollywood Brown's okay, off the team. Hollywood Brown killed him last year. He dropped so many touchdowns. I don't like
his
receivers.
So
I just
balls.
Think he's an underrated passer. The one thing is, he's won it before. Sometimes it's hard to win it back-to-back, but I love Lamar.
That's very well put and great point about Hollywood Brown couldn't be more overrated as a player. He could not be more overrated. Will Hill, what's on the docket for you and the family today in Vegas?
We got the Wynn Buffet coming up, and I'm going to check out, what's the name of the fast food place? It is... It's the chicken place. It is Raising Cane's. We don't have that on the East Coast, so we're yes. checking out some Raising Cane's here.
And a buffet.
Great to see you, my friend. We love Will Hill. New York City Cast over at vsin.com/podcast. We're coming back with Josh Applebaum next here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on vsin, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check the current betting splits data. Listen, it's updated every 10 minutes. This data became part of our arsenal maybe 2 years ago here at vsin, and it's super important. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. It's invaluable information. vsin is here to make you a smarter better. This is one of those things where I have my odds screen up all the time with the splits. You should, too. Go to vsin.com for the betting splits. As we got you back here, we got the squad. We got Stephen Bond. We got Kevin Trask. But those are my guys behind the scenes. My two guys here on air are, of course, Mike Pritchard, who's sitting in for Michael Lombardi, and we miss Michael. But how about Josh Applebaum? This is my guy. We've been working together for years. He is the author of the Everything Guide to Sports Betting, but also he's the co-host with Pritch on Betting Across America. You can find his podcast over at vsin.com/podcast. And for people that didn't realize, he's a bad boy. His fiance is going out of town this weekend, and it is going to be lit at Casa de Applebaum. No?
It definitely will be, Patrick. And Pritch, it's great to see you. Yeah, so it's a very rare occurrence that, you know, I'm home alone with the pup, and that's what's happening this weekend, guys. So your boy's going to order some takeout. We're getting down on a lot of games this weekend. Keep it between us. I'm excited, but really, I'm really sad she's leaving, guys. But just kidding. I'm really excited for this weekend.
Shut up, Josh. You live with her. She can go away and have fun with the girls. You'll be okay, no? You can take care of yourself.
Yeah, well, but, you know, Patrick, I'm going back to kind of like my bachelor days. Remember when you kind of you relied on yourself to do everything? Like, I can make Annie's mac and cheese. I can order Domino's. There's very few other things I can do in this world, though.
So you're not warning the neighbors or anything like that? You're going to stay indoors the whole weekend?
We're going to stay indoors, Pritch. Yeah, we're going to have maybe a wellness check. You guys just send me a text tonight, halftime of the Patriots game. Just see how I'm doing.
Here's what Josh getting crazy looks like. Instead of two IPAs, he's going to have three IPAs this weekend.
Watch out.
Wow.
And if the Pats are rolling tonight,
kidding.
Take the over.
All kidding aside, Josh, it's great to see you. We'll be betting on the New England. Now, here's the thing. The Rule news, when Rule said, I'm not playing Baker, I'm not playing Sam Darnold, immediately the market shifted, right? So we're up to six and a half. On the spread, Josh, in New England, you're going to see, Mike Reese is reporting, you're going to see Mac Jones and the starters who did not play in week one for the Patriots. And we've got a total sitting at 39.5, 40. You're up in New England. Give us your take on this one.
Yeah, so obviously Belichick is really coy about, you know, whether his guys will play or not, but you're hearing this info leak out that obviously they're going to get some run here with Mac Jones, and they're trying to install this new offense, kind of take a page out of the Shanahan run zone, you know, kind of blocking scheme here. And this jives with kind of what we've seen over the last 24 hours or so. So if you actually, you know, go back a week here, this line opened at some shops like Patriots -2. I saw some books at one point that were closer to a pick 'em. And these teams have been having joint practices, and they've been fighting pretty much every day. So I don't know what the over-under on fights tonight. Maybe it's you take the over 1.5, but it's been back and forth here. So I think it's a test case of not betting something too early in the week, because I think back on Wednesday, the Panthers were like -2.5. Then it flipped back to Patriots -2.5. And now the news leaking out that Rule is going to rest all his guys and Belichick's going to play his guys. We've seen the line shoot up all the way to -6, and even seeing some books get to 6.5 right now, guys. So with these joint practices, I think it's really important to pay attention to what's going on throughout the week and the late move, of course. So I'm on the Patriots here. I moneyline them yesterday around like -175. They're up to, at this point, -250. So it's kind of hard to lay this number at this point. You know, if you do want to lay it, though, and you are getting the worst of it, I'd lean more on maybe paying a higher price to just go moneyline and say win the game. Betris, not bet to win. Try to get a half unit by risking one unit. You do see these severe line moves, at least 2 points or more in the preseason. The team the line goes to is about 56% ATS the last decade. So a lot of movement toward New England. Let's see if they can win, and let's see how this new offense looks with Mac Jones tonight.
Josh, so much information about this new offense, too. Who's calling plays, who to be determined, I guess. But Devontae Parker, Nelson Aguilar, too. I mean, they got to get to game speed with Mac Jones and this new offense as well.
They really do, Pritch. And again, you know, what we've seen just from, you know, your ear to the ground here, I'm in New England, obviously, it's, you know, there's a lot of bad news going in saying Mac Jones was, you know, kind of bristling at the fact that, hey, why are we changing this system and who's calling the plays? And if you kind of cryptically, kind of listen to what he's saying, I think he's kind of been a little annoyed by just kind of the lack of, you know, consistency here. So you're actually hearing what people are saying now is Belichick might call the plays. That's kind of shocking to me. He hasn't done that, since he's with Cleveland before the Patriots here. You had McDaniels for so many years. But, you know, it's just tough. Like, Patricia sometimes in game one would be with the quarterback, then Judge was with the quarterback sometimes. But it sounds like right now, if neither of these guys, you know, take the bull by the horns and become the de facto coordinator, you might have Bill Belichick calling the plays.
Hold on. I just had a light bulb moment. And Michael Lombardi, my goodness, he sent out a tweet like 10 days ago where he said when whoever was in the game, it was Joe Judge, and the other quarterback in the game, it was Matt Patricia calling plays. Maybe the next time it'll be somebody else. It was a very vague tweet, but after what you just said, it makes 100% sense. Now that Mac's in, who knows? It could be Belichick calling plays. Listen, Belichick's been doing this a long time, Pritch. He might say, you know what? I want to mix it up a little bit. I'll be calling plays this year. That's why he's been so coy about Patricia and Judge.
It's possible. I still need to see it to believe it, though. I mean, Belichick is a GOAT. I will give him all the credit in the world. He's the greatest coach of all time. Seriously, for what he's accomplished, what he's done, how he builds rosters. And if anybody's going to call plays offensively, okay, it could be him because he's had a touch on all these players in terms of a personnel standpoint too. So he's forged his team. I mean, he doesn't have Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach, Scarnecchia. He was incredible. He doesn't have Josh McDaniels anymore, and he doesn't have Tom Brady anymore. So this looks completely foreign. So it wouldn't shock me if he does call the plays, but I do want to see how successful he can be calling plays on offense.
And it does appear, Josh, that it does appear that Mac Jones, he's got a spicy attitude this year. He's fighting with his teammates. He's outspoken. You like to see it.
I think you do too, you know, Patrick, here, because again, you know, this is a young quarterback who's taking over and, you know, kind of not too afraid of Belichick. Obviously, he's deferential to him. He shows respect, but yeah, he made a comment the other day to the media, like, we've made some adjustments and they're listening to us more. So kind of sounds to me like this is a good sign if you're a Patriots fan that Mac Jones is not afraid to tell Belichick, hey, this isn't working, or this isn't working. This isn't, you know, the best to our capabilities. It doesn't make sense. I think also paying attention to beat reporters is huge, guys. A lot of these joint practices with the Panthers here, they're saying that in the 2-minute drills, Belichick was the guy calling in the plays. So that to me was kind of the sign that, hey, he may well be the play caller. I just can't wait, guys. I've never seen it before. I want to see a game where it's snowing in Foxborough in December and Belichick is holding up the play sheet like this with his hoodie above it and you can only see his eyes.
Yeah, I would
love to see that.
I would love to see it too. The game that we haven't touched on yet, so this is perfect, Josh. You got it in your notes. That's Houston and the Rams at SoFi. John Wolford's going to start. He hasn't played since 2020. He's going to get the first half, and then Bryce Perkins is going to get the second half. Remember, the Rams only have 3 quarterbacks on their roster. What's interesting about Houston, and this number right now is Houston laying 2.5 and a total of 37.5. Lovie Smith has kept the info tight. Davis Mills is going to get some time. He played 2 series in the opener, but really what Lovie, if you read into what he's been saying, he's been targeting that final preseason game for more starts and more reps for the first unit, Josh. So interesting kind of reading between the lines with what Lovie Smith is saying.
You're exactly right, Patrick. And kind of this has jived with what we've seen in the betting market. A little bit of movement, or kind of big movement here to the Houston Texans. So you look at that number, it's like Texans -2. It's like, okay, remember, this is preseason. The regular season game, it's probably Rams, I don't know, -10 or more. But when you've seen this movement, guys, it actually opened at some shops. The Rams at home laying a point and a half. We've seen it flip all the way to -2 Houston. Some shops are even up to -2.5. This would qualify as one of those severe line moves, 2 points or more. Team that has that line move is 56%. ATS. And just what you said, Patrick, the importance of these information-based bets. McVay has said he's not playing any of his guys. We've known that. He's been doing that for years at this point. Lovie Smith, I found one quote, Patrick. He said, Davis Mills, quote, he'll get his reps in, and they're going to play a little bit more than last game. So that's a good sign. The line's going to Houston here. None of the Rams are going to play. I money-lined Houston here, guys, around -140. Our VSiN.com bet splits, only 21% of bets are on Houston tonight, but they're getting 61% of the money. I like that plus 40% discrepancy.
Pritch, what's your take on McVay's approach to preseason games, which is he completely disrespects them?
Yeah, I mean, it works. I was in attendance last year, Rams and Raiders preseason game. I mean, it's just not the same when you see the backups out there, for sure, Patrick and Josh. But his approach has worked. They won a Super Bowl championship, so he's not going to change it. The thing about Lovie, though, I want to know if he's going to be different. I mean, the track record for Lovie on what he wants to do with that defense, you know what's coming at you, right? Does he have the players to execute that defense at a high level? I don't think so. But if he's just vanilla out there, that could be interesting for the Rams backup players, though.
Yeah, it's well put. It was a surprising hire, to say the least. Josh, on the way out, got under a minute. You want to give us a baseball play today?
Yeah, a couple baseball plays, Patrick. Big slate tonight. One dog, though, in a very rare situation, the Houston Astros. They're on the road at the Atlanta Braves. McCullers is on the bump. He was hurt all year. He's come back. He was great in his first start back. He's facing Kyle Wright. Got pretty good numbers here. But public's all over Atlanta on a very short number at home. But the Braves actually open around -130. They're down to -125-ish. Houston, plus money. It pretty much never happens. I took Houston Astros around +115.
Josh, thank you. Betting Across America coming up later with you and Pritch. Thank you so much, Josh. Enjoy the weekend as a single man, you bad boy.
Appreciate it. Pritch, see you now, or Patrick, see you tomorrow morning.
All right.
Okay, when we come back, I just got to thinking. The gentleman, Mike Pritchard, did he ever fight in joint practices? The answer, next.
You're listening listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Unleash the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into BetMGM reward points that you can use towards dining or shows or hotel rooms. It's a tremendous deal. It's a rewards program like your credit card. So make sure you sign up. If you do have a gambling issue, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be 21 years or older. Please gamble responsibly. Got you back here on the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Mike Pritchard. I asked the question, you know, because kind of the story has been with the joint practices, whether it's the Saints and the Packers or the Panthers and the Patriots. I think somebody got cut on either the Panthers or the Patriots after a fight in one of the joint practices. So I asked the question, 9-year career, Mike Pritchard, who's like the kindest, most docile man ever, but maybe on the field you were a little bit different. Did you ever get into a fight at practice?
I got it out my system. You know, not at practice, joint practices. I mean, the joint practices I participated in was against the San Francisco 49ers. They were coming off a Super Bowl win. We were in Japan, pretty excited about that game. So you just wanted to go up against the best and get your work in. I saved my fights for the real games, Patrick. I got into a fight. Broncos Raiders Monday Night Football, James Trapp. It wasn't really a fight. I guess it was like one of those typical things you see when you grab each other's face mask and stuff like that, but not a brawl or anything like that. I mean, I think training camp and certainly these joint practices, they laid a foundation for you to actually go at it because you're just frustrated. You're always frustrated as a football player because you're getting hit or you're hitting somebody, and you got to get to that level. So I'm not shocked at these fights. I know why they happen, but for me personally, I thought it was just a waste of time.
What did he do to provoke you?
He's going after Elway. He's going after Elway. So it was Monday night, too. And I think you're out of your mind on Monday Night Football in a rivalry game, Broncos and Raiders. And we did win 24-0, I believe. But no, he was going after Elway. Elway was scrambling, and I had an opportunity to peel him off before they changed the rules in which you couldn't come back and hit somebody like that, right? You couldn't peel off somebody like that. So I took my opportunity when I could get one. And I took it. He didn't like it very much.
But you gotta protect your quarterback. By the way, right. did you all notice how Pritch just said, he goes, I think we won. Maybe it was 24-0. Of course you know you won. And of course you know the exact score,
yeah.
Pritch.
Yeah, you don't forget those, yeah. The night, Patrick, for another time, I'll tell you about the night off air. But it was spectacular. Yes. It was spectacular.
I wish VSiN and the audience could hear the Pritch stories off the air, on the air. I mean, some of them, I mean, literally just not safe for work, but we could have some fun with those on the air. Okay, 3 preseason games tonight as we continue with week 2. I'm just going to run down the numbers here, Pritch, and if anything stands out to you. Again, Carolina, it's interesting. I think most of us expected and anticipated seeing another Baker round, seeing another, you know, Sam Darnold round in front of us there against the New England defense to see if we could watch the competition. It sounds like Rhule got enough from the joint practices because he's going to sit both Baker and Sam Darnold. That number jumped all the way from, you know, it's up to 6.5 at DraftKings and a total of 40. New England, and again, this is Boston's Mike Reese, ESPN Boston's Mike Reese, who said the first unit and healthy starters are going to play, including Mac Jones in the preseason debut for most of them, and the defense as well, Pritch.
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise. I mean, I think Michael Lombardi talked about the fact that New England's coming out here to Vegas for joint practices too against Josh McDaniels and the Raiders. So here's a chance for New England to get a lot of work done, get their starters on the field, go through the communication that they're going to have to go through. And that was one thing I wanted to allude to or mention in game one. I thought the sideline communication with Judge or Patricia was sound. It didn't look like they were having any problems with whoever was on the field. And so if Belichick's calling plays, I'm sure he's going to want to have that as well. I mean, it's rare that we could see Bill Belichick on the sideline with the headphones on calling plays. Normally he's managing the staff and his coordinators are doing that, right? So this will be a unique situation. I'm sure everybody in that building is going to be amped up Patrick. And as a bettor, I mean, I think that's something you can have confidence in if you're going to back the Patriots here.
No, it's a great point. And I just want to reiterate, because Michael Lombardi often has information that he can't share on the air. But last week, you kind of have to read and parse his tweets where he said, I think Hoyer was in and it was Judge calling plays. And maybe I have it flip and it was Zappi was in. And then Patricia was calling plays, Pritch. And then he said at the end of his tweet, he said, the next time it might be somebody different. And I was like, well, the only thing I'm hearing is it's going to come down to Judge or Patricia. Mm-hmm. But as we start to hear the rumblings of Belichick, Belichick and Mac, with Belichick calling the plays, you know what it would make for a fascinating season if he was the one with the play card, if he was the one playing calls, plays all season this year for the Patriots. It would be fascinating.
It would be fascinating. I mean, I'm thinking of Mac Jones and his experience. Was it O'Brien who was calling plays for him in Alabama? And, you know, that's a Bill Belichick type of guy, too. And I would wonder how Belichick would handle a quarterback. It makes me think of Bill Parcells and Phil Sims a little bit.
Yes.
You know, how can that head coach and quarterback coexist that way? You know, one thing about Bill, he knows defense so well. And if, as you become a play caller, do you have confidence in your son and whoever else is going to call plays on that side of the ball? Probably so. And you can still manage that. But I mentioned Skarnecchia no longer there as the offensive line coach. That was a big miss. Brady no longer there. That's a big miss. And now you got Josh McDaniels. It's completely different for Bill. So, you know, if he's only got a few years left in the league, and if he wants to try this, more power to him. I, as a bettor, though, I still have to see it, Patrick, to start to believe it and make sure that that's going to work this year.
By the way, one takeaway from Parcells and Sims. They fought like cats and dogs, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they fought each other nonstop. You wonder if there would be that element with Mac Jones just in his second year and the GOAT and Bill Belichick. Fascinating to see. The second one up tonight, Pritch, New Orleans at Green Bay. Again, you're not going to see Jameis Winston for New Orleans. You're not going to see Aaron Rodgers for Green Bay. This number, 2.5, you got a couple of shops at 3 with Green Bay laying it at home. They've had the joint practices. You got a total of 38.5. You know, a couple things. Bakhtiari and Jenkins, both tackles are missing for the Packers. What I did hear kind of surfing around was Love, apparently, in the last joint practice, had a tremendous practice, the quarterback there for the Packers, and it looks like he's going to get 3 quarters tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he should. I think Love is still playing for his future. You think about the 49ers game and the interceptions, and maybe you don't feel that well about your performance, even though it wasn't his fault. But here's another opportunity for Love in his future, though. I mean, the future for the Packers is Aaron Rodgers. Love knows that. But there's other jobs out there, and, you know, from a contract standpoint, he's playing for his future. So he's going up against a Saints defense, which I think is going to be even improved this year because I think they have quality depth more so than they'd had last year. From what I'm hearing, too, Patrick, they're getting after it. Physical defense on that side of the ball. But on the offense, is to be desired, though. I mean, Andy Dalton, there's a big drop-off from him and Jameis, and then what he is right now as a quarterback. And then, I mean, my goodness, what are you going to do with the other quarterback, Ian Book? So from an offensive standpoint, I see why the under could be intriguing here, 38.5, minus 110 either way. But I'm gathering intel again. I'm not betting this game. I'm curious about the Saints because they're one of those teams I think could surprise people in their division this season.
I totally agree with you. And by the way, I do like the under tonight. New Orleans at Green Bay, 38.5. I like that under. I expect New Orleans to run the ball as they did in week 1 against Houston. They've got 4 backs, as I mentioned before, vying for that backup job behind Kamara. I expect them to ground and pound. Last one. And, you know, maybe I was unfair to Sean McVay when I said he disrespects the preseason. He kind of just ignores it.
Right.
But he is right now catching tonight here in Vegas about 15 miles that way. Mm-hmm. He is catching 2.5 with Houston in town here. I will say that John Wolford is going to start the first half, and then Bryce Perkins for the Rams is going to get the second half here, Pritch.
Right. If you're worried about the Rams quarterback not being prepared, and I mentioned this before, Lovey, he's a vanilla guy. I mean, there's a Tampa 2 defense and little variation to that. He doesn't have the players yet on that roster to make it highly effective, but there's not going to be anything surprising to the Rams at all. It's going to be man on man here and see, okay, how well can we play? How well can we be focused? And can McVay have a Super Bowl champion team focused. And I think if you're any young player with an opportunity to remain on this roster, you're going to seize that opportunity. So I think it could be competitive. Entertain the under as well on this one. I won't bet it. I know Josh is with the Texans on this one. But, yeah, I just think it's going to be so easy in terms of what you're going to see and being familiar with what you're going to see out there. No surprises for this Rams offense.
I want to thank Michael Lombardi for joining us on his show. Will Hill for stopping by the studio. Of course, we had Josh Applebaum. But most importantly, I want to thank you, Pritch. It's been a wonderful 2 days. Thank you for joining me. I really do appreciate it.
Patrick, you're the best. Thanks a lot for having me.
No, you're the best, Pritch. And plus, now that you talk to me about being a fighter, I'm afraid. Odds On is coming up next. Great job, Stephen Bond and Kevin Trasick as well. We'll see you tomorrow early here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.